그 종말론은 그쵸 그 단순히 몇 개의 어떤 이언들을 뽑아서 그쵸 그것들을 그냥 뭐 단순히 자기의 어떤 영성 안에서 소화하고 해석하는 게 아니에요.
Eschatology is not about picking up some prophecies from few books in order to interpret that according to my understanding. So why can't churches talk about the end time and eschatology? As I met the Lord 36 years ago, I met God through the eschatology. And I also met God through the core of eschatology, which is glorious church. So eschatology is the story of the tale, right? But the tale is not about tale itself. So for example, why can leopards run so fast? Because the leopard balances out with its tail so well so that it can run fast. So when these leopards and cheetahs, when they run 100 kilometers per hour, their heads will not be shaken. So the tails only guides its direction. So all its speed comes from the direction of its head. So eschatology is the same. Even though eschatology is the tail, but it talks about the head. More precisely speaking, it talks about the integration. So unless you understand everything as a whole, you cannot talk about the end time and eschatology. So the reason why we have been blessed is because God has integrated all the church system of the Bible in us. Especially, what is the reason that churches became so powerless over the last 2,000 years? It is because the great prostitute have been corrupted the church and the church system. That is why we have lost the glory of the early church. And what is this truth that has been corrupted by the great prostitute? God has been revealed that secret to us. So ultimately, because people don't know who Jesus is, that is why they don't understand the integration. That's why they don't understand the eschatology either. So once you understand who Jesus is, once you believe who he is, then you can talk about that integration. So what I'm saying is that eschatology is the story of the Bible as a whole, not just the simple story of the tale. Right now, many translations are being made in Zoe Ministry into different languages. Please pray hard for those translators. Sister Consuelo is translating Spanish documents from English. And this ministry has a great pressure. There are so many people who ran away, you know, while translating some of our documents. So we need to first publish these books so that all those women's churches around the world would be unified in one true system. And of course, we have already uploaded all the sermons that I have already preached. But some of them are only in English, some of them are only in Spanish, some of them only in Chinese. And they are all scattered, so we cannot unify them easily. But we are now publishing books. So please pray for them. And these translators are having difficulties and they are being attacked severely. They're important people, right? So now, as we speak about eschatology, we cannot just interpret everything through this one book of Zechariah, but we have to consider all these different prophetic books especially Daniel, Revelation, Matthew chapter 4, and all these apocrypha, including Book of Enoch. And there are these other apocalyptic books outside of the Bible that we should also consider. And after we integrate all those things together, we can come up with one big picture. So I'm not a prophet, but instead, I'm someone who has a big picture in order to see what is going to happen in the future. So 2 years ago, I said there will be a war, and then war broke out. Last year, I said this war will not stop, and it will even expand up to the north, and it has been expanded to Syria. And even expanded to Lebanon. And that was not about my spiritual sensitivity or anything like that, but I was able to see the big picture. That's why I was able to say that. And after seeing that big picture, I was able to discern what was going to happen. After the Russia and Ukraine war broke out, I said that the Russians will win by the decision. And I said this will only be the beginning of the direction that will happen to the humankind at this end time. So beginning from this, the humankind will enter into the vortex of war. China will surely attack Taiwan. And in this Middle East, a lot of different wars will lead us into the situation of Ezekiel 38, and India will also be involved in those wars. So rest of the history of mankind will be colored by the wars. They will not stop. And when I see them in the big picture, I can see them. So eschatology of Zoe ministry is not something that I speak out of these prophetic anointing, but I proclaim them through the big picture that God has shown me. So right now, the headquarters of UN is located in the United States, but I have prophesied that it will move to Europe. And once we know who the Antichrist is, and once we know who the false prophet is, and we have already said that the great prostitute is Vatican, and we will be able to proclaim and prophesy this precisely. It is not the time for us to just say what these verses mean. And when you look at the book of Zechariah, Zechariah prophesied about the situation of Israel very precisely. Why did Jesus do that? Because he wants to tell us that he is coming. And he's saying, I'm coming, and the evidences of me coming back is these. So when I'm coming, you remnants should prepare this before me. And I want you to stand gloriously before me when I return. That's the eschatology. So even if we don't know eschatology, Jesus will return anyways. But what kind of problems will we have when we don't know eschatology? We might get attacked by the enemies, by the strategy of the enemies. And we might not be able to stand gloriously before God. Just like Thessalonians 1:5 says, we will know them by the time and season. We don't exactly know when the robber will come, but we can see the signs of that robber coming. Amen. Our Lord has already shown us everything through the Bible. He even divided them into a precise timeline. When, in which season, in where. So once you have the timeline of God, doesn't matter what the enemies do, doesn't matter what happens around us, we will not be shaken. And we will just say, okay, do your things. You do your business.
자신감과
So you should be able to have at least this kind of confidence toward the enemies. Because enemies are the beings whose damnation has been determined. Their judgment has been already decided. And it has been already decided 2,000 years ago on the cross. So no matter what the enemies do, as long as we remain in God, all what they do, all that they do is something that God is using in order for in order to benefit us. So how amazing, how exciting is this? No matter what they do, they are just prepared for our benefit. So you are the ones who have received the victory of Jesus, right? It doesn't allow you to have joy of being victorious by yourself. So even though all the enemies are already judged by the cross, but why didn't God execute His judgment right away? It is because of us. God wanted us to be victorious over the spiritual battle. So after you graduate from military academy, you might get ranks. But the Medal of Honor can only be received through the victories of the battles. So in order for us to receive that Medal of Honor, God has remained these enemies on this earth. That's what Hebrews chapter 2 says. And we can find that in many other different books. And once we have been born again, God gave us the new self. But why didn't God not remove the old self from us? Because the new self that God has given us when we were born again was the nominally righteous being that we have received from the cross. But just entering into the kingdom of God with that nominally righteous being is not that glorious. So as we continuously fight this battle within, between the old self and the new self, and as we continue to stomp down the old self, and as we complete these holiness within us, we can practically be the righteous beings. And kingdom of God is where these practically righteous beings are gathered. It is not the place where you can just enter because you are nominally righteous. So in the 66 books of the Bible, there's never a single book that says that only when you are being righteous nominally you can enter into the kingdom of God. So when you say, oh, he's living a miserable life and he's still attending the church, do you think he's saved or not? God never has set a standard about those kind of people in the Bible. If there is somebody who is like that in our church, then we will not even hesitate to say like this. We will only see after you die whether you go to heaven or hell. We don't say that you will go to kingdom of God. We cannot just say that he will go to kingdom of God just because he is attending the church. We'll say, you can only find out when you die. And when you open your eyes again after you die, and when you see yourself in a dark place, then you will say, oh, I failed. But when you open your eyes and when you see yourself in a shiny place, and you will say, oh, yes, I finally made it. But the Bible only says about one standard for the children of God. God has made you holy and blameless. And what does it mean? If you are a child of God, you must fulfill God's predestination. Just like Romans 8:30 says, God has made righteous those who He has called. And these are written in the past tense. God has decided His people to be like that once He has called them. So why are churches of God so important? Because God is providing everything for His people to be glorious through the church. That's the abundance of glory. That's the most important term in the book of Ephesians. It is not because the pastor is excellent. It is not because pastor has studied. But it is because of Church of God. And I'm only a servant that God has called to this church. And God is providing all the spiritual provision for His children through the church. So what I have been proclaiming over 23 years in the Zoe ministry was that this is the essence of the church. So you should do everything by being the church. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, can you find the spiritual gift of deliverance? No. So that is why people get destroyed by doing the deliverance ministry by himself or herself. And I have witnessed many people being attacked by the enemies, you know, having their families being ruined, having their children being ruined. Why? Because there is no spiritual gift of deliverance, but they believe that they do have the gift of deliverance. But who are the ones that are doing deliverance and spiritual battles? It is the church. Just like Ephesians 1:20 says, all the authority to control all the hierarchy of Lucifer and the evil spirits has been given to the church. So spiritual deliverance and spiritual battles can be only done by the church. So in the Latin America, when we had the youth camp, our high schoolers went to the churches to deliver out the evil spirits, and they have brought healing. And even though these are students, when they are ministering, they cast out demons. Why is this possible? Because they went there as a church. They are not individuals. So this must be clear. And don't be deceived. The Bible only says one standard about the salvation. Are you a child of God? Then you must be glorious. You must enter into the glorification. It is not the will of a pastor. This is the will of God. So the word predestination is only being used in the New Testament. But in the Old Testament, it is being described as a decision. But why can we only use the term decision in the Old Testament? Because the one who has the completion of the salvation has not come yet. So our Lord Yeshua, He has come to this earth with that completion of salvation. That's why we say that we call that as predestination. That God has decided to make His children to be holy and blameless. And Yeshua Himself has fulfilled everything so that that can be accomplished. And He has given you the water, blood, and the Spirit to dwell in you. And all the merit that He has earned from the cross has been given to us freely. Our Lord Jesus is Son of God. We are Son of God. He is the heir. We are the heirs of God. He is the temple. We are the temple of God as well. Amen. God has given all the dignity that He has given to Jesus. So there is only difference between us and Jesus. He is independent God, and we are dependent gods. So when somebody says that he met God, then he must show a clear image. First, his dignity must soar high, just like 1 John 2:11 says, those who sanctify and those who are sanctified came from one nature. So that's how dignified you become. It cannot be even compared to the angels. And there is no angel who can see the light coming out of the face of Jesus. So if you have seen the angels, you know what it means. And a normal angels, an ordinary angels also shines light. And imagine how great these archangels shine their light. They can even blind you. But even those angels who are shining their light cannot even see the face of Jesus. So how much is the dignity that God has given to you? In 2 Corinthians 4:6 it says, you must see the light coming out of the face of Jesus, knowing God. Light of knowing God coming from the face of Jesus. So you should be emotional when you hear this promise. Do you know how tremendous being you have become? Not even archangels cannot see the face of Jesus. But God told us to see His face. And now we have become the beings who can only live by seeing His face. Amen. So that is how much we become dignified. But at the same time, we become so much humbled. We can only kneel and bow down before Him. Lord, I cannot live without You, because He is an independent God and we are dependent to Him. So even though God said, be holy for I am holy, but whenever we meet Him, we cannot compare our holiness to Him. That's why we always bow down before Him. And even between people, when the level of holiness is different, you can tell, right? And many of our church members cannot see me directly that easily. And when I look at them like this, you know, they sometimes go crazy. Because God's glory is being radiated from me. So even between human beings, you can clearly tell one another. Do you want me to show you? I can show you, but you know, I might make someone embarrassed. Anyways, but even more, think about the glory that is coming from our Lord. So no matter how holy I am, we can only bow down before God because of this level of holiness, because of this different level of holiness. So when I meet God, our dignity must soar high like our Lord. When I first read this Hebrews 2:11, I couldn't believe this. And I said, oh, this is a wrong translation. And in Book of Ephesians, what does it say? We are God's praise of glory. God is calling us His praise of glory. Are the angels saying that? No. God Himself is saying that we are His praise of glory. Even now, God is praising for us. He is praising and singing, I have an ugly son named Philemon. He is singing. He keeps singing. Amen. So once you meet God normally, you have that dignity and that humility at the same time. You will have the reverence and the intimacy at the same time. So in Psalms 25:14, it says like this, those who worship God will have intimacy. You revere God, but you feel close to God at the same time. So the only glory of the salvation written in the Bible is the completion of His calling. So if the standard of salvation becomes blurry in your church, then everything will collapse. So that standard must be clear in the church. So when a church member passed away in our church, then we don't cry for him, because we believe that he has entered into God's kingdom gloriously. So almost all the funerals that we had in our church was like a festival. We rarely cry because we believe that he has entered into his kingdom gloriously. But rather, we are the pitiful being who have to still strive to live on this earth. So we feel jealous to them. And we say, oh, what a blessed being that he gets the opportunity to go to his kingdom so quickly. And I still have to strive to fight these spiritual battles on this earth. And after coming out of this intercession, most of our church members are filled with joy. But sometimes when they are attacked by the evil spirits, their faces say, oh, when are we going to stop praying like this? I'm sick of this. Because it has been already 18 years since we have been praying 24/7. And not many of us can go for a vacation. And sometimes it is very tough. And if we have like multi-thousands of people, then it would be easier. But like, you know, excluding our students, we only have like 300 people, you know, rotating in teams of 24 hours. So when they see somebody passing away, they would feel even jealous. Oh, when I could also join them. When could I also join them? So once you have a clear standard of salvation, your church will be like this too. Amen. Okay, let's begin reading. Let's begin looking at chapter 8. And because there are many new people, I'm telling you some of the fundamentals that we talk about in Soul Ministry. And these are important things, right? So what is the core thing that you need to have, you need to concentrate in your faith life? And what is the fundamental reason why enemies cannot manipulate you? It's because of your identity, and because of identity of God. Once you have that clear identity, sometimes we may stumble. We may commit sins. But once we have that firm identity in us, we can restore easily. We can recover easily and not stumble again. So that is why it is important for us to talk about salvation. If you live without knowing who you are, you can easily be manipulated by the enemies. As I said yesterday, why do Israelites, why are they corrupted so much? Because they don't know who they are. Israel are supposed to be listening to God's voice, and they are the ones who will die once they are mixed with the world. How much doesn't God want them to be mixed? He doesn't even allow them to grow two crops at the same time. They should not be dressed with the fabrics that are intertwined with different textiles. They cannot even intertwine their clothes. So God really hates us being mixed with something else. Right? Those are who Jewish people are. So when you know who you are as an Israelite, you will not be mixed. I came here 10 years ago. I think I came here during Passover or something. But I was thinking, oh, how can people live while eating such tasteless food like these? You know, I'm surely a Gentile, right? In that sense, I'm being thankful for being a Gentile. You know, as a Korean, I enjoy eating this pork bulgogi, you know, with this gochujang, chili paste, and all these shrimp, lobsters, all this seafood. But Jewish people, they are not allowed to eat them, right? Because God doesn't want them to be mixed. And God truly doesn't want us to be mixed. That's the identity of Israel. So once Israelites accept Baal, their worship will become like pagans. What is the worship of pagans? All they have to do is to comfort the stronger gods. So they bring a lot of offerings. And they say, oh Baal, please give us more rain next year again so that we can have more crops. And Israelites are adapting that worship style exactly to Elohim, Yahweh. So the worship that you're offering to Baal doesn't care about the life you used to live. All you have to do is to bring the best offering. And they're trying to apply that to the worship to God. And they say, Yahweh, oh Yahweh, I have brought you such a tremendous offering. So bless my children and bless my business and give me health. And it does not matter whether you have lived holy or not. It does not matter you have respected God or not. And all you consider is whether you have offered a lot or not. What does God say in the book of Isaiah? He says, who told you to bring these kind of offerings? I am sick of these. You yourself bring that again and bring them again and eat them. And that's what these churches of these days are turned into. And even the pastors are being changed like that. And they say, as long as these church members bring offering, then it's okay. It doesn't matter whether they pray or not. It doesn't matter. They don't care about how pure they are. It doesn't matter how dedicated they are. It doesn't matter how much they live their life with God. Pastors do not care about them anymore. As long as people offer a lot of money, and they will say, oh, you are now an elder. And by doing that, you are killing yourself and that person as well. What does it mean? It means that you have lost the purity of worshiping Yahweh. That is why Israelites were judged. Israel will die when they are mixed. Once they are mixed, they will die. We need to have God alone. God alone. Yeshua, you alone. Lord, we need you alone. Amen. I don't know why I'm not entering into the main text. I love Pastor Francisco saying amen in the front row. Once I hear his voice, I feel secure.
Amen.
Only thing that I wish is that he would not kiss me so hard when he meets me for the first time. I have never even received a strong kiss like that from my wife. But whenever I meet Pastor Francisco, he kisses me so hard that my cheeks are about to get damaged. I'm always afraid of him. So I need to avoid him as much as possible. And when I meet Pastor Fairman, he hugs me so hard that I feel like my ribs are about to be broken. Even though I look young, I'm almost 70 years old. I'm a grandfather. And I am practically a grandfather. So please treat me gently. Don't kiss me so hard. Love is always gentle. Anyways, let's begin. So in chapter 7, Israelites were questioning God, is Jerusalem restored or not? Because they see the slaves returning and they see the temple being constructed. And of course, the walls will be constructed in BC 444. But at least the Babylon, which brought shame to the Israelites, were destroyed. Then, can you consider that as a restoration or not? So, you know, Israelites fasted because of that shame and persecution. But they're questioning, can we now stop fasting? That was the question that they have brought to the leaders and the prophets. And then now, God is bringing the prophecy upon the restoration of Jerusalem. And he's saying, when will this restoration take place? And he's saying that that will take place in the end time. So Zechariah talks about the before and the after of the restoration of Jerusalem. Including Revelation, the difficult part of interpreting the prophecies is because it is hard to tell when are these prophecies talking about. That's the difficulty that you might have. And all the visions that these prophets have seen are like watching the movies. So right now I'm standing here on September the 1st, 2025. But seeing the vision is having my spirit entering into the future. So from today, I will be talking about more of the prophecies. And some of you who have maintained the fullness of the Holy Spirit until now will experience transcending from time and space with your spirit. Even though I'm standing here in 2025, but I might jump into the situation of Ezekiel 38. So what is our problem? Our problem is that we got used to living by our flesh too much. So we think that living by the Spirit is unnatural and it is surreal. But living by the Spirit is real. Just as this paper towel is real. Even though you may not sense that through your flesh, living by your spirit is real. So when you live by the Spirit, you know what it means. You know how real it is. It has the same influence and the tendency as you live by your flesh. So even though I'm staying here in Israel, I can transcend from the space. Through my mind, I can diagnose what is in my cabinet in my office. Only with our mind, we can transcend the space, right? But our spirit is even greater than that. So when you receive the salvation, it means that your spirit has witnessed that event of that one Jewish young man being crucified on that hill. It means that your spirit has jumped into that time. So who are we called? We are called as witnesses of cross. And because we have witnessed that, we cannot deny that. And the original term of witness in Greek word is martyr, which is the source word for martyrs. So because you cannot deny what you have seen, you cannot help but to witness the things that you have seen to the people. But in your life, the most time that you are spending is the time that you are living through your mind and through your flesh. So it is easy for you to rely on your flesh and your mind. But as you continue to live by the Holy Spirit, then you will realize how real living by the Spirit is. And your flesh cannot transcend from time and space. And I am bound to this land of Israel, right? And my mind can transcend the time and space, but I cannot make it real. My mind can know what is on top of my desk in my office, but I cannot use that in order to make something out of it. But my spirit is different. Spirit can transcend time. And at the same time, we can transcend the 3D world. That's the perspective that the Bible was written by. Even though I'm here, when you look at Ephesians 2:6, the moment I was saved, God says I was enthroned next to God. How is that possible? You can only understand by the perspective of the Spirit. Even though I'm praying in my room, my spirit is enthroned next to God's throne, and I meet the King of Kings. And Jesus, who guarantees everything for me, introduces me to the King of Kings. That's what Hebrews 7:15 says. So unless you understand the spiritual realm, the Bible can never be interpreted. So where is the key of our victory living with God? It is all about how long are you living with God. In 1 John 2:17, we call Him God. We call Him Father. In 1 John, those people are called as fathers. So in your churches, you must have more fathers who have spent long time with God. So I'm trying to explain this eschatology with spiritual reality. But people who have not substantialized these spiritual things cannot understand this completely. So even though I'm standing here in 2025, and I cannot tell when exactly it was, but I can transcend the time and go into the time of Ezekiel 38. So in the status of Ezekiel 38, I can see a specific time of past. So when is my present then? Ezekiel 38 will become my present, right? And I will be looking back into the past. So I may get confused. So that's why I say it is similar to watching a movie. So in which situation are you going to consider that as your present? Once you know that, then you can clearly tell about what time is Zechariah prophesying. Because you can see all the other prophetic books as a whole. And you will say, oh, this prophecy that Zechariah is prophesying is connected to that part of Isaiah. And this time of period is located in between which trumpet judgment and which trumpet judgment. So your prayer life is the same. People who have lived by their spirit, even though I might be praying in my room, but all of a sudden I can sense my spirit going toward my ugly son living in Mozambique. And God is showing me that situation. So I once told Philemon, and I called him and said, hey, I can sense tremendous attacks from the witches attacking toward your family. And I ministered them in my room. And there's a pastor that is called Jonah in Mozambique as well. And his wife is pregnant. So maybe like 2 or 3 weeks ago, I also called her and ministered her. And she's saying, oh, you know, baby is about to coming out, even though the dates has not reached. So my spirit went into that situation. And immediately I deliver out the works of the witches. And she said all the pains were gone. And sometimes I experience those situations coming into my space. I'm not saying something randomly out of my mind. You know, Jesus sometimes went into time, into the space of Paul, and Paul sometimes entered into the space of Jesus. Paul was in Ephesus, but he was able to see all the situation in Corinth. Because all these Bible, all these books in the Bible were written by the people who have substantialized the spiritual life. So living the spiritual life means that you have lived by the Holy Spirit for a long time. Let's say I have lived for 20 years with my right arm being bound. Then can I use my right arm after 20 years? No, I cannot. So it is the same. If you bind your spirit, then you will lose all the power of your spirit. When you go to there is Trench Mariana in Pacific Ocean, which is 10,000 meters deep, and there are fish that live underwater. And in that trench, those fish, even though they have eyes, they cannot see. Why? Because they don't have to use their eyes to see. That is why they have all the other senses, but their eyes are devolved. So it is same for their spirit. Once you live with the Holy Spirit, when you stop living by your spirit will also devolve. So you have to know how dangerous it is to live by your thoughts. Because it will make you to lose all the ability to transcend from time and space. And even more, if you develop your flesh, you will not only lose, but also you will reject and rebel against God. So, you know, bringing offering to God is a spiritual action. But everything that you don't do by your spirit is meaningless, because God is the Spirit. God doesn't say, okay, I'll take your money and go out to have a meal and then I will just compliment you. No, I might do that, but when my church members treat me well, I will say, oh, great. But God is not like that, because God is the Spirit. So everything can only have meanings when you have spiritual relationship between God. So I feel like you guys are not understanding what I'm saying. So, you know, please live by the Spirit. And of course, there are many of you who are living by your spirit. And for those, you know, I'm saying something that is not so useful. But I'm saying this for those who have not known this before, right? So what did David say in Psalms 139? He said that God has created man in a marvelous ways. And why did he say that? Because man alone can live by his flesh, and he can live also by his mind and by his spirit. Have you ever heard a pig worshiping God? Have you ever heard a pig worshiping God in that way? So man alone can decide by what he would live. So this free will is the evidence of God entrusting the dignity of a divine being. So being able to use this free will well is the key for us to be like God. So what is the most important decision that we can make through this free will? Is to live by the Spirit. Is to live by the Holy Spirit. So this is the most important decision that you can make in your life. Even now, there are people who are listening to this sermon through their flesh, through the information. But there are people who are eating this word by faith. Then if I bring out one revelation to you, then that person might be interpreting that revelation as 10 revelations. That's the image of life of people who are living by the Spirit. So when I preach about eschatology, I also transcend from time and space with my Spirit. And the young adults and this young generation of our church can even enter into the Bible. And they can see things, they can see the stories with their Spirit. Because the Bible is not just a written word. And these are the Word of God that are written by the power of God that can transcend time and space. That is why it is possible for us to also experience the Bible. And when you read the Bible, you should also be able to smell the blood of Christ. Because the Bible is written by the blood of Christ through the pen of the Holy Spirit. So if you do not live by the Holy Spirit, if you do not live by the Spirit, you will consider all these things as a mystery or an abstract concept. No, but it is real. Bible is written by the people who have substantialized that spiritual life. So it is possible for us to transcend time and space. That's why God's word can be power and authority in our life. And God's word can transcend time and space. So we have ministered like that for many times. Even though I'm sitting down in Korea, I transcend from space and proclaim healing and deliverance to Africans. And people get healed and people deliver out the evil spirits. It is possible because I live by the Spirit. So I think I won't be able to preach about Zechariah chapter 8. So why don't we pray? Because in this morning, we have loosened all these bindings by receiving the fire, right? So I will preach Zechariah chapter 8 tonight. I don't know why God made me to preach about these things, but I believe there are people who should be listening to these kind of things. That's why God made me to preach. So as we pray one more time, God's anointing will be poured, and God's fire will be poured. And now all the bindings that limited you from experiencing God's blood, anointing, and the Word of God will be loosened. And as I said, in your function of your spirit, there is intelligence, emotion, and will. When God first created Adam, Adam wasn't a person who learned everything by studying. But instead, when he saw the characteristics of the animals, he came out with the names of those animals. And he didn't even forget a single name of the animals that he has named. And we call that the intelligence itself. So once your life living by the Spirit becomes substantialized, you will not be the person who will realize something by learning. So all the Word of God that is being proclaimed in Zoe ministry have been allowed to use to all Zoe ministry churches. One thing that I said to the people is, do not make money out of this. Because this is not the study that I have studied. My wife is sitting over there, and she's my witness. And God gave me this truth system within 1 year after I met Him 36 years ago. So I'm not preaching out of my studies. This is something that Holy Spirit Himself gave to me. So anyone else can use this as well. That's why I tell them to use freely on my preaching. And this is how you live by the intelligence itself. And that power of intelligence is still given to me. And we have emotion, which is feeling. This is the function that allows you to feel and sense God. And fundamentally, if you can sense the presence of God, you will not have much problem living in your life. When you are about to turn this way, you don't feel God all of a sudden. Then you stop. So the clear image of living with the Holy Spirit is not about just you know, pushing forward without stopping, but it is about pausing and waiting for His decision, because we have that feeling. That's why we can stop. We can pause, because we don't feel the presence of God. And this is connected to wisdom and revelation in Ephesians 1:17. But anyways, when there are hundreds of rocks before you, Moses knew exactly which rock he should strike in order to have the water. Did Moses made an investigation geographically? No. He had that feeling. He knew exactly where God wanted him to strike. Oh, this is where God is working. That's a revelation. That's a revelation. So if your spirit is not alive, you will not have revelation. You will not have that feeling. So once you have that feeling of sensing God, you will be able to solve all these complicated problems of life. Oh, this is immorality. And because I have seen the glory, I can distinguish the darkness. Oh, this is unbelief. All right, now enemies are disturbing in the second layer of heaven. Oh, unbelief is attacking us powerfully. This is possible because God has given us this feeling. When I look at somebody, I interpret the prayer that is coming out of him immediately, even without listening to his prayer. There is somebody among us who is sensing his spiritual wounds right now. Someone who has been abandoned by his father. Someone who has been abused by his father. And all these images of the babies who were not supported by the mother sufficiently. And those people are screaming in their spirit. And I can sense this because I'm hearing them. There are people who are like that. Should I call them out? No, we don't have enough time. We'll do that later. God wants to deal with them. So once you live by the Spirit, your spiritual functions will be revived as well. So God's love is the same. You should be able to receive His love through the feeling. And the most important thing is your will, your free will. So as I said, God has given this free will only to human beings and the angels. And of course, God gave the free will to angels in order for them to choose to serve God's heirs. Because God's essence is love. So that he doesn't want to receive someone serving him without his voluntary will. So angels are the same. Angels serve God because of God's beauty and His splendor and His glory. God doesn't want them to serve God because they are afraid of God. That is not the essence of God's love. So it is same for human beings. So when I say to my wife 30 years ago, hey, you need to love me, kiss me, you must kiss me, and let's say she kissed me, then that is not love. Living with God is the same. God wants us to volunteer to love Him. So when you look at Psalms 51, David prays the prayer of repentance after committing sin against Bathsheba. And within his confession, he says like this, God, give me the willing heart again. Restore me the heart of willingness again. It means that he has stopped from receiving God's love. So he's praying that he wants to receive God's love again so that he would volunteer to love him back again. Because after committing sin, he has lost his voluntary heart, this willing heart to him. Before committing sin, David was filled with this heart of loving God, but after committing sin, he has lost it. So he prayed like this, Lord, give me the heart of honesty and give me the heart of volunteer. So that is why our free will is important. So once your free will is completely freed, you will not resist God. The strength of resisting God will become zero in you. So it is not that you are trying hard in order to serve God. It is not that you are striving hard in order to love God. But once your spirit is loosened from all the bindings, then you will not resist God, that you will naturally choose God. You will always choose to serve God. And it will be joyful for you to serve Him and to live with Him. So your emotion, intelligence, and will must be loosened. That is the free status of the Spirit. In John 8:32, our Lord Jesus said to the prostitute, He said like this, the truth will set you free. So the truth of God in you will work like a sword so that it will pierce all the bindings that are binding around you. Holy Spirit is dwelling in you. And the characteristic of the Holy Spirit is glory itself. So He is leading us from glory to glory. That's what 2 Corinthians 3:8 says. 3:18 says, so all the darknesses cannot help but to flee away from us because of that light. Just like Hebrews 10:22 says, God has erased and removed all the records of sin. And Hebrews 10:17 says that I will remember your sin no more. So when we repent, we are not the ones who are being forgiven by God, but when we repent, our sins are removed. So the more we repent, the more we get distance from the sins. In Ephesians 1:17, Paul says that we have been divorced from the sin. In Leviticus, what's the grand final of Day of Atonement? The goat of Azazel that has been imparted all the sins of Israelites. As it departs from the tent of Israel into the wilderness, Israelites will confirm that their sins has been solved. So they have a festival. They sing these praises. So it's the same. all the sins of Israel have been disappeared into the wilderness. So we have been divorced from the sins. They are using the same language, same word from the Old Testament and the New Testament. So our spirits must be loosened. And through our intelligence, emotion, and will, we have our mind. And all this wrong information that we have accumulated in our mind will be disappeared. Why do people go crazy about money? Because they have that information thinking that I will only be happy once I have money. But we don't have that information. That's why we don't put our energy into the money. We live only for God's glory. We don't live for the money. And those wrong information must be disappeared from our mind so that true system would only exist in our mind. Word of God in our mind and the Word of God in our spirit should be only two beings that are moving me. And when that becomes maximized, just like Deacon Philip has disappeared from the wilderness and has reappeared in Caesarea, and spiritually speaking, that's when the presence unify with your immanence. That's the status where the Word of God within you not being limited, then all your personality, all your beings can be disappear from a place and reappear in another place. And you know, in the story of Isaiah, he ran in front of the chariot of King Ahab. That's what happens to you when you don't limit the Spirit of God. So once we enter into the time of tribulation, people who do not receive the mark of the beast cannot do anything. We would not be able to take airplanes. Then, you know, when I want to comfort these Israelites and other people from another country, what should I do? Should I walk all the way from Korea to Israel? And on the way, Jesus will return. Then what else should I do? I will start from Seoul, and I will jump to China. And in China, I will spread the gospel, and then I will soar up again and disappear and then reappear in Turkey. And then I will rest a little bit in Turkey and then reappear in Tel Aviv. I mean, you may think this is like a fairy tale, right? But at the end time, we will witness these. Amen. Every promise that is written in the Bible will be fulfilled within us. I believe this 100%. How about you? If you believe in these promises, then scream and shout. Amen. So this is really important today. Let's pray. God, let the power of the blood of Christ in me be maximized. Lord, let the work of the Holy Spirit be maximized in me. Lord, let the glory of the gospel be maximized so that all the functions of my spirit would be restored. Your intelligence, your feeling, your will. Lord, remove all the wrong information within my mind. And Lord, help us to enter into the freedom of glory. Lord, pour out powerfully upon us. Lord, let your fire flow from your throne. And let the powerful anointing flow among us. And Lord, cleanse all the pollution that enemies has brought into our mind. Lord, help us to meet the most glorious season of humankind. Lord, help us to welcome this season. Pray in tongues, interpret, and prophesy. Lord, let this anointing pour out powerfully. Pray in tongues, interpret, and prophesy. Let us pray.